Well, I needed that too. And here in the States, another group of researchers says they're close to a treatment that might stave off the worst effects of COVID-19 and also work to prevent it. And it's one that was used over 100 years ago. Dr. Peter Hotez is a professor of molecular virology and microbiology at Baylor College of Medicine in Texas. He's been a key player in vaccine research for diseases including SARS and the new coronavirus. He tweeted out our awful new reality and said he's determined to explain and promote convalescent serum antibody treatment, especially to save the lives of first responders. He's a busy man, what with trying to save lives, so we reached him on his cell at Baylor. Dr. Hotez, explain, what is convalescent serum antibody treatment?
So this is actually a throwback therapy that was used during the 1918 flu pandemic, and it involves taking serum from patients who've recovered from the virus because it has potentially a high level of antibodies, isolating the antibodies and giving it back to either sick patients or now potentially could be used for healthcare workers in a lower dose in order to protect them from a couple of weeks of getting the infection. It's an idea that's being actively promoted by Arturo Casadevall, who's a friend and colleague at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. And what he's doing is trying to organize a network of medical centers to see if we can gear up blood banks to make this happen.
Yeah, and we know that doctors in China have begun treating COVID-19 patients with this blood that's harvested from survivors, again, because if they survived, they built up antibodies. Now, is there a danger, though? I mean, you know, what could be the downside of injecting them with antibodies?
So we're only talking about isolating the antibodies so that there's little to no risk of actually injecting them with the virus. There are some potential risks that have been associated with this, including potential lung injury, but it seems to be an uncommon complication. And the point is, if we're looking at large numbers of patients in intensive care units or very sick individuals, if it has an opportunity to lower mortality, that could make a big difference to the nation. It's really a stopgap measure until, you know, we can develop our vaccines and other groups can develop their vaccines, or if we have a new drug available. It's very challenging to develop new technologies to a new pathogen in the middle of a very dangerous epidemic. We don't have a lot of precedent for doing that.
Well, it's fascinating because this serum would be injecting, as you said, antibodies that were built up in the blood that defeated the virus. But to be clear, are you talking about this as a treatment for somebody within the first few days of them, you know, showing symptoms? Or are you advocating this or hoping this might work also as a prevention?
So it's really both. And it's partly a function of the dose that they receive. So if somebody is very sick with this virus, and you're worried about them having progressive disease, the idea you would give them a large amount of the antibody. But in theory, and in some cases in practice, it's been shown that you could give much smaller doses in order to administer this to people that are high risk for exposure to the virus. We think about frontline healthcare workers, and we've already seen that. We had a report this weekend of two emergency room physicians now who are severely ill or even in the ICU with this virus. We cannot let that happen on a large scale, so maybe the antibody could be used for that purpose. We're going to need guidance for this from the federal government, how to best provide quality control for this technology, how to regulate it, potentially bring in the Food and Drug Administration, who has a lot of expertise in biologics. Also, what kind of regulatory oversight does this need to have? And also, could we get the federal government to mobilize some resources for blood banks?
Well, you mentioned the two emergency room doctors, one's in New Jersey, one's in Washington State, in critical condition. And, you know, many of us read the incredible piece in the New York Times this past weekend about the two 29-year-old doctors from Wuhan. One didn't make it, one did, but it really drove home what happens during this illness and what the fear is.
Well, you know, there are a lot of medical mysteries about this virus, and one of them that was reported out of China is that healthcare workers seem to disproportionately be susceptible to severe illness based on what you'd predict just on their age. You can imagine how incredibly destabilizing that would be in the United States if healthcare workers are going to work every day knowing that they could become severely ill and be taken care of by their colleagues, things could unravel very quickly.
Right.
So for me, this is a national priority.
Yeah, you are particularly saying we can save the lives of these frontline health providers, first responders, potentially, with something that will slow down this virus's march through their bodies.
I think it's a weak link in our health system right now that if we have a substantial number of healthcare workers taken out of the workforce, and I think this needs to be prioritized now that we're moving on to the next stage of the epidemic.
Yeah, and during the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, scientists reported that these transfusions of, you know, taking the blood from survivors of that flu led to a 50% drop in their deaths. Here we are, over 100 years later, thinking about this again. That's Dr. Peter Hotez, professor of molecular virology and microbiology at the Baylor College of Medicine in Texas. I'm Dr. Hotez. We wish you all the best with this. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
So, hopeful news, treatment's possible. But we're wondering, how are you doing with all of this? How are the outbreak, which hasn't really even hit us yet, and the restrictions because of it, how's this all hitting you? Weigh in, hereandnow.org.